Okay. Welcome to In Media Lives, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we will be doing our Spotify Wrapped, but wait, we're not affiliated with Spotify in any way, except that you might be listening to this podcast on there, but like, this is not actually Spotify Wrapped, but it is us talking about media we enjoyed this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how do you want us to start? Do you just want to start, like, talking? Do you have a prompt in mind? I don't know.
Well, dear listener, we haven't spoken to each other in, like, a month.
Yeah, so now we're, like, basically strangers. So
we don't know how to do this anymore.
Who are you?
It is not my fault. It is your fault.
It is totally my fault. It is the fault of the influenza virus, more than anything.
It's pronounced influencer.
The influencer, a hipster from Los Angeles, punched me in the throat, and that's why it's been so sore. So, why don't we start with our music, since we mentioned Spotify Wrapped.
Okay, yeah.
Let's start there. Okay, like, what was, like, your song of the year?
Well, okay, disclaimer, this is, like, my nap music. You know, like, I nap with music from time to time, and my 20-minute naps turn into, like, two-hour naps. So a lot of the music on my Spotify playlist is just, like, very calming sort of stuff that I listen to when I am getting knocked out. And all of it is, well, first of all, Message to Bears, because of that one song from Before the Storm. No, not Before the Storm. No, it's from the first game. From Life is
like,
Strange.
Just the first, I know which song you're talking about.
Yeah, Mountains? Is it Mountains? I feel like it's Mountains.
Mountains, yeah. By Message to Bears.
Exactly. And so it's them and a Russian singer. I don't know how to pronounce her stage name, but it's O-O-E-S. So I'm assuming it's like O-E-S?
Oos. O-E-S. Oos. I like Oos. Oos.
But she has really good music. I really like her music.
What is it, like electronic ambient? If it's sleep music or what is it?
It's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like soft.
Okay.
It's just soft music. I'm a soft guy. I listen to Foreigners.
I mean, fair.
Yeah. What about yours? Tell me more.
Okay. So I've got a story. So they actually put out a new album this year called Jenny from Thebes. And it's actually, so it's interesting because Jenny is a character that the Mountain Goats introduced in a song that came out like 20 years ago. And at the time, all we knew about Jenny was that she had a really cool motorcycle. And from that, there is a Spotify, not Spotify, a Facebook group for the Mountain Goats that is the Mountain Goats crap posting, but the crap is the S word that you don't say. And this group actually, for some reason, has just invented this whole lore around Jenny that she's like this lesbian and she was riding the motorcycle home to her partner. And like, so I think the lead singer of the Mountain Goats and the songwriter, John Darnielle, is aware of, like, the memes around Jenny. And so I guess he decided to make an entire album about her that basically, I mean, it's his own spin on things and it doesn't confirm anything about the fan canon, the fanon about her. But it definitely, like, it backs up some of the ideas. Like, you can definitely, like, it's compatible with the fanon. So it's this really cool record that I think, what I love about it is that, I don't know, have you ever heard of a musical artist being like, there's like a deep lore that people have invented and then they find out about that and make an album based on it? It's like really weird.
Yeah, it's weird and cool.
Yeah.
And dangerous. Sets a precedent that I don't like.
Well, it's, yeah, because it's kind of like, it's kind of like a fanfic, but the person who the fanfic is, you know, written for, took it and ran with it. It's really cool. It's really interesting. And it's a good album. It's kind of continuing in the Mountain Goats who have been kind of doing this kind of, I would call it kind of a multi-instrumental country western vibe lately,
mm-hmm.
which I think works for it because it's kind of about this older woman who kind of made a lot of bad decisions growing up,
mm-hmm.
but now she's trying to just do her best for herself and for those around her. And that kind of country western vibe really works for it. That album, definitely, it came out, I think, in September, and this, like, took the latter half of my 2023 by storm. But the band that I was listening to the most was Daisy the Great, if you look at the entire year.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so they got kind of big on TikTok because they had a song that they did with AJR called Record Player, which I don't actually really like all that much. They have a song called Time Machine that is just amazing. You know, like it's got this kind of sci-fi theme and it's also like a sad relationship song. And who doesn't love that? Like that combination of sci-fi and sad kind of emo relationship song is like always been my thing. So there's also a Queen song called 39 that's also about time travel and sad relationship stuff. Oh my gosh, I love that song. I don't know why you combine those two things, and I love it, but I do. So those are the two artists that stand out, along with the Boy Genius album, but I feel like every queer woman has been listening to Boy Genius, so I don't even need to talk about them.
I've been actually listening to this this French band, La Femme, and it's really cool. They don't have like a singer. They take different artists, different female artists, and have them sing their songs. It's really interesting, and all of their music is really, really good. I've been listening to them a lot. It's really cool.
So again, give us some more info about kind of the genre.
It's like ballady, indie-ish kind of stuff. You can't really tell it's different women because all women sound the same, of course.
Wow. That is categorically not true.
Yeah. It's the genre like fluctuates a little bit, obviously, because they have different artists sing different things, but it's like a showcase of different singers. It's apparently a fairly popular band in France. It's really cool. I really like their vibe. So I've been listening to La Femme a lot.
Okay, I'll check them out. That does sound really cool.
Yeah. All of their covers are kind of like a little, it's artsy stuff. Just, I guess you can Google it and you'll see what I mean. But a lot of a female body.
Okay. Of course.
PG.
When it's called La Femme, what else would you expect?
Yeah.
And I think the final question here that I have for you is there like a meme song or like a guilty pleasure song, like a song that you're kind of embarrassed to admit you like?
Okay, I'm not
big this year.
It wasn't a I'm not embarrassed by this. I'm not embarrassed by anything, Chloe.
Okay,
except for farcical humor. If I trip in front of you, I'm moving. There is a song called Beads. Let me look it up. Who's it by?
Beads.
Oh, Beads.
Bees?
Beads, like Beads by Prince Cornelius. Beads, like the bracelet that you made.
I know. Oh, it's actually a joke from Arrested Development.
Oh, gotcha. I didn't really watch that show. But yeah, Beads by Prince Cornelius is pretty good. It's like silly. It's funky. I like that. And also Danny Phantom by Medusa, which is a little more like aggressive and not necessarily a meme, but it's a little weird, yeah.
That is the second song about Danny Phantom. Like, is Danny Phantom that big a deal? Because there's that...
He's a lesbian icon.
Really? Why?
I don't know. Probably because of Sam.
I've never watched Danny Phantom. You're going to have to say more. Yeah, because it's
You're not going to understand. Well, first of all... Well, actually, I've seen a lot of people on Tumblr who are trans relate to him a lot. Because he is hiding a very, very huge part of his identity, like his body changes when he uses his powers. There's a lot of like disassociation from the body, things like that. It's there's a lot of like metaphors that queer folks can put onto that cartoon. And also his best friend is a goth girl.
Yeah, that'll do it. That's enough.
I think her
name
is Sam.
For the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just looked up Sam Manson.
Yeah, had a crush on her as a kid. And Icky Vicky from Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh, her. Yeah, so, you know, I didn't have cable growing up. And I think Danny Phantom and Fairly Odd Parents were both on Nickelodeon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so I never had Nickelodeon. So I never got to watch any of this. The only thing I watched was SpongeBob because I could watch that at a friend's house.
Gotcha. But,
yeah.
Yeah, you were missing out a little bit. It's okay, Chloe. We'll get you to watch that cartoon one day.
Oh, God. Okay, I want to talk about my meme song because, man, is it a good one. Okay, so the song is called The Yak Song, and it's by a bunch of bronies. And
okay.
Violet Pony, Nico Snicker, Galaxy Squid, and Nami. And oh my God, does this song go hard. It's like this electropop, lo-fi jam. Mm-hmm. And this song rules. It's just so fun. And any person I put it on for has been like, what is this? Like, they really like it. It's just a good song.
It's like the Uwu song.
It's like the Uwu song. Cigarette Ahigao by
Penelope Scott. Yeah.
Where it's just like, this is a brony song by a bunch of bronies, and the Uwu song is just this kind of meme about a lot of different things, really. But yeah. It's just such a good song. And it goes on, like, it's super long. It's like 5 minutes long. Like, so it is a total, like, it's too long. It's got a bunch of weird artists. It's this friggin' brony song. And yet it's so, despite all that, it is so good.
Okay. All right.
Okay. We will put together a little playlist with all the songs you mentioned.
We'll add it to our notes. We'll add it to the playlist from the music episode, no?
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, that way we don't have like 8 different playlists or whatever.
We'll put it at the top though, so that like
yeah.
If people have listened to that already, they can just get to the new stuff.
Yeah.
And I won't put the entire Jenny album, I'll just put one song. Okay, so since we're talking about cartoons though, mm-hmm. or we were, I wanted to talk about Blue Eye Samurai. Have you watched any of that yet?
No.
Because it just came out.
I've heard a lot of things about it. My friend mentioned it yesterday while we were driving home from the gym. A bunch of my online friends are talking about it right now in our other Discord. I don't know what it's about.
Oh my God. It is so good and it is very queer. Mm. So the story is it's about a half Japanese, half white man who's female assigned at birth, but he goes by male pronouns and just, mm-hmm. you know, like is living as a man in the most of the show. Mm-hmm. And he is on a quest for revenge to kill all the possible white men who are his possible fathers.
Interesting.
For cursing him with blue eyes and therefore making him kind of lesser in the eyes of Japanese society in like the 17th century, which was very xenophobic. And cool. It is stunningly gorgeous. They have super high quality voice talent. Like you will recognize so many different voice actors. Like they got like pretty much like every major Asian actor that you can think of probably is in it. And it's just every episode, I'm only halfway done with it. Every episode is just so good that I just sit there and I watch it and I feel like I can't breathe the whole time I'm watching it because I'm just watching with such rapt attention. And it's easily my top, you know, cartoon animated show of the year and maybe even my top TV show of the year.
Wow.
It's so good. You have to watch it. And there'll be an episode about it because I'm going to force Beth to watch this.
Okay, I'll be weedy a little bit. Oh, it's a Netflix show. Ooh,
it's pretty. It's not an anime. It is by a French. It is by a French animation house. So despite being set in Japan.
I do love French animation houses because they did Arcane.
Yes.
The French are really figuring something out that the Americans aren't.
There's this amazing scene in one of the episodes where they have a puppet show and the animation they did for these puppets is, I was just saying that I was like, I don't know. There's some, they captured it so well. And you think about it, it's so silly that like puppets, but just they captured the vibes of like someone moving the puppets so well. And I was just so impressed by it. And yeah, just it's just such a good show. And the characters are great. And yeah, I mean, obviously the main character is pretty queer, but there's also a lot of it revolves around kind of the very rigid gender roles and people who mm-hmm. are transgressing on those roles.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's really good. Very queer. If you have Netflix, check it out. It is very violent and there is some nudity. I will mention that. So just keep that in mind.
Cool. Okay. That's not what I thought it was.
No, me too. Cause I saw it at first. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's just going to be some kind, you know, cause Netflix has a lot of anime, and I thought it was just going to be like an anime, whatever, but someone on another Discord was raving about it, so I gave it the benefit of the doubt, and I'm very glad I did. Your turn. Was there any, like, animated series that really stood out to you this year?
I was kind of, like, thinking about it.
Yeah.
And it's still, to this day, really Arcane. I haven't really watched much animation. I think Scott Pilgrim is interesting, but not in terms of animation itself, you know? It's a very simple kind of style. It mimics the comics. So I wasn't like mesmerized by the art or anything, right? So I think for me, just Arcane held up for a few years now.
Fair.
Yeah, I recently rewatched the first episode.
I really want to do a rewatch. This is something I might do over the holidays.
Oh, the holidays are going to be so busy. I'm already stressed out.
Not for me. I'm going to be at home not doing anything for like 2 weeks.
Lucky you.
Sorry, Val.
It's okay. It's okay. It's going to be a fun time, you know? It's just have a big family.
Yeah, my family's all, you know, far away from me, so.
Yeah. Okay, well that was a quick cartoon yeah. Segue.
Well, why don't we go into TV shows in general? Is there anything that stood out to you this year?
This year, I think, well, definitely The Last of Us. That was this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Last of Us for sure. It's my favorite. And the show, I think, is different. Maybe not worse, not better, but it's different enough that I enjoyed it just as much. Yeah, so that's The Last of Us for me. How about you? You can't copy me. Haha. Well, you can if you want to.
I mean, I love The Last of Us, and we did an episode. We did two episodes on it, I think.
I think so. I think I talked at you for the game episode, and then we discussed the TV show.
But didn't we do an episode specifically about the third episode, too? Because that's the really gay one.
Did we? Maybe.
I feel like we did. I feel like we did, because we were so excited we weren't ready for the season to end. We just wanted to get that out there.
I believe you more than I trust my memory in any sense of the word. So yeah, for sure.
The Fall of the House of Usher was definitely up there. Did we do an episode on that or not?
I have no idea. I guess what that is.
It's by Michael Flanagan. It is so in the he's the Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's based on the works of Edgar Allan Poe, and basically it's about this family. And each of them meets an untimely end, and each of their untimely ends is kind of based on an Edgar Allan Poe story. So, like, The Mask of the Red Death, and The Raven, and The Telltale Heart, and, you know, so, like, all those stories, mm-hmm. and they all, it's kind of a modern retelling of them. So, like, the rich family is, like, based on the Sackler, you know, the opioid family.
Gotcha.
And it's all each of them kind of meeting their end through kind of an ironic means. Like the young kid who's like a party animal has the Mask of the Red Death, where the Mask of the Red Death shows up at the party and kills everyone. It's just, it's really good. It also has a couple queer characters in it.
Okay.
Yeah. He always puts them in, you know, like Michael Flanagan always has a couple queer characters. I think there's a lesbian woman and a bisexual man. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's really good. Again, very, very violent and very sexual. So not for kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watched some other stuff. I don't know that I put on my best of lists. Like, I watched Gen V, which, okay, I really love the character. I think their name was Sam?
I don't know what Gen V is.
No, not Sam. Hold on one second. I'm going to find the name. So Gen V is a spinoff of The Boys.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I haven't watched The Boys either.
Jordan. That's who it is. Jordan
non-binary.
Their whole superpower is that they switch between male and female, and they have different powers depending on what gender they're in.
Interesting. Okay.
And, you know, it's not just like something that, like, you know, sometimes in shows like this, they just kind of exist as a character, but they are definitely one of the main characters, and they were like dealing with their family because their parents really see them as exclusively male, whereas mm-hmm. they really see both their male and their female genders as kind of equal, and that causes a lot of conflict for them. I really like them as a character. I didn't like the show writ large, though. It was, I don't know. Have you watched The Boys at all?
No.
It's disappointing to me. I feel like it's got so many individually good scenes, and yet the overall story has just done nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know. And I feel like some of the worst people have been reading it the wrong way too, because like,
what? Anyone
who idolizes Homelander is just like, what the heck is wrong with you? Anyway.
That's the blonde man who looks like a Nazi?
Yeah, looks like. Let's go with that phrase.
Well, because I haven't seen it, I can't really assume.
He's not a Nazi because he thinks everyone who's not superhuman is basically lesser, not just Jewish peoples. He does have a Nazi girlfriend at some point, but he's like,
oh, good for him.
he's a super Nazi. And like, when I say he has a Nazi girlfriend, I mean, her name is literally Stormfront, and she like was the product of a Nazi super soldier experience. Like, it is not subtle. So
interesting. You know what this conversation is reminding me of? Remember what? Dreadnought?
Yes.
Yeah, has for some reason.
Yeah. We need to do the second book in that series.
We do.
We should do that. But keep us on task. Any other TV shows that like stood? I mean, you can talk about ones you didn't like, or things that just like, I don't know, are in your mind in some way.
Yeah. What do we bash? Let's see.
Well, I just bashed to The Boys in Gen V, which were very popular. So whatever. Come at me, bros.
Come at us. We're untouchable. I don't really watch TV is the thing. I think the only shows I watch are for our episodes.
Okay.
Because anything other than that, I space out hard. I will give a little shout out to Letterkenny. I think I watched it in the beginning of this year, but also I might have watched it like 4 years ago. Who knows with COVID time. But I think I watched it like maybe a year and a half ago. And I think it deserves a little shout out because it is a very queer show too, which I was surprised by.
Yeah.
Have you watched Letterkenny?
Nope.
Okay.
We did have the Owl House series finale was this year, believe it or not.
That was this year?
That was this year.
Wow, that was so long ago.
Yeah.
That was literally forever ago. Everything has changed. I don't think we talk about TV shows that much. We don't tend to watch the same ones.
You'd be surprised. I don't know. They make up a decent chunk. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Switching gears, I guess, to movies.
You go first.
I will go first. So I will say, in terms of movies I saw in theaters, I think I only saw one, which was Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves.
We also watched Barbie together, you liar.
Oh, Barbie. That's what, yeah, okay, fair. Both are amazing, and although Dungeons and Dragons is very straight.
yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah, I
didn't mind it.
It was like,
it was,
it was good. It was diverse in other ways, and mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a good movie. Like, it's just enjoyable. Barbie had some queerness to it as well, and generally just was super feminist. So that was great. And the other side of the Barbenheimer, I watched Oppenheimer the other week.
Uh-huh.
And to give our listeners a little context, the reason I am a scientist is because of J. Robert Oppenheimer. He was definitely an inspiration. I read a biography of him when I was in high school. And then my favorite play of all time is a play called The Love Song of J. Robert Oppenheimer, which is a play about his life. But up above him during the entire play is Adam's first wife, Lilith, who is a demon, taunting him. And this is a play, and it's amazing. And okay. So imagine, like, you're learning this biography of this man in, like, the 1940s who's a scientist, and meanwhile there's a demon up in the rafters taunting him the whole time. That's the play. It's so cool. And I just think his philosophy on science, like, he was a very, like, practical kind of realist when it came to science, and just like a lot of like how he viewed the world is stuff I've taken inspiration from. So I love, I was so excited that, like, oh my god, you know, there's this big Oppenheimer movie coming out by a big director, and it's going to be 3 hours long, and it's going to focus on his entire life, and this is amazing. I really didn't like it. It was not good. It was too focused on the spectacle, and it made his... I hate it when a biography makes it that person into a character where it seems like their whole life pivots around a single event, when in reality that single event was not a big deal. So, it was kind of a big deal, but it wasn't like what I would pivot his life around. And Oppenheimer, rather than choosing, you know, the obvious thing, which would be, you know, developing the atomic bomb, it actually pivots around him. So for context, he lost his security clearing in the 1950s because he was a suspected communist. And it focuses around that moment. And to me, that is so disappointing, the framing, because it's just, he had done so many other important things as a scientist. And so to focus this 3-hour biography around what was essentially a bureaucratic fight with the US government just felt off to me. And they didn't do a good job. I mean, they tried to show that, you know, because he was fundamentally a very flawed human being who was very mentally ill at times, enough so that he actually tried to poison one of his own professors.
Wow.
When he was in grad school. Yeah, he left a poisoned apple on the professor's desk.
Boy boss.
Yeah, so like he was, you know, not a mentally well individual.
Problematic genius.
They try and show that in the movie. Like, there's definitely scenes where like he runs off and like hides for an entire day and is shown crying and whatnot. But like, I don't know. I don't think they really ca- it's all shot kind of flatly in this very like cinematic big motion picture view. And I was just so disappointed. I was so disappointed. You cannot imagine. And like so much of it is revolving around that hearing, but then also like the spectacle of the bomb going off for the first time. And like they make a big deal. And I don't know, just, I felt like I was pretty disappointed, needless to say. So yeah, Oppenheimer did not do anything for me.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry. Fun experience.
I was clearly not the audience for this because, you know, the idea is that you probably didn't know anything about him beyond maybe the fact that you knew that he was the head of the Manhattan Project going into the movie. Whereas, you know, I've read biographies of him. Mm-hmm. I've seen this weird little play about him that I love. And, you know, like I clearly am not just the audience that was meant to see this movie. And that's okay. And I don't know, because that play exists and that play rules. So, it's not a very popular play, but if you ever see it, The Love Song of J. Robert Oppenheimer, you have to see it. It's such a good play. Oh my God.
Okay.
Anyway, movies. Do you have any other movies to talk about now that I just monopolized this conversation for like 20 minutes?
As it should be. Movies that I enjoyed. Have I watched any movies? I have. Yes, I definitely did.
Well, you definitely watched D&D and Barbie. And Barbie.
I'm going to go with Glass Onion. I had a really, really fun time with it. I guess technically it's a little over a year because we watched it around this time. Yeah. But I'm going to count it.
Like, that was a Christmas movie. Yeah, sure. Why not? There's no rules. You can count it.
Exactly. And I think the reason that I really, really loved it that much is because I watched it with you guys.
Oh, that was a good watch party.
It was a good watch party, and it was really fun. And it was interesting to see, like, half the people there knowing what's happening and already having watched it. And then, like, the other half having no idea and watching it for the first time, which I was a part of because I haven't seen that or Knives Out.
Have you seen Knives Out since?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
I watched it, I think, either that same... Like, we watched it...
Did we watch
during
it?
During the day? I think we watched it kind of like early in the day, and then I went home and maybe watched it, or maybe the next day I watched Knives Out.
Okay.
It was very soon after, because I really enjoyed that movie. So I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
That's the memory of my friends.
Yeah. I also just want to give a shout out to Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which I thought was really good too. Probably the only good Marvel movie in the past, like, couple years.
I don't think I've really watched any in the last like decade. I guess I've seen Spider-Man.
Have you seen the Guardian movies?
I've seen the first one.
I think they're all so good. They're just all so heartfelt, and I appreciate
that. They are.
That.
They feel very campy compared to everything else.
Also, Guardians 3 has the first F-bomb in the Marvel Universe.
Wow. Good for them.
And it's in the funniest context possible.
Yeah.
It's great. I guess I'll spoil it, but yeah. It's basically, it's just Peter Quill yelling at Nebula. She's trying to figure out how to use like a car on Earth, and she can't figure out how to open the door. And he's like yelling out instructions, and she's like, "What do I do next?" And he says, "Open the effing door." it's just like so unnecessary, because it could have just been any other word, you know, like
it could have just been open the door.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like, it was totally unnecessary, and it was so low stakes. Like, it wasn't like a character being like, "Oh my God, my entire family is dead. F my life." Or something. You're like, no, it was just open the effing door. So it was great.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so Guardians 3 is really good. I think it's supposedly not the last Guardians movie, and they're going to introduce... So in the comics, there's a lesbian couple who kind of are affiliated with the Guardians, and I think they introduced them in Guardians 3. So maybe if there's a Guardians 4, the lesbian couple will be in it.
Gotcha. Every time I see a Disney movie that has like first queer character, because they had that like 18 million times, it just I don't care anymore, because I'm like, is it gonna be just like a random dude who's there for 3 seconds, or is it gonna be all about queerness, which they don't do really well either?
Yeah.
So fun stuff. Disney movies.
I don't even know what else to say about that, because I'm trying to think about other Disney movies I watched this year. I can't really think of any except for what we did. That's a TV show, but
yeah, we did the Mutants thing. That's
the
Disney.
New Mutants.
Yeah,
that was the, I guess, but I think it was technically under Fox or something. I don't know. And I did watch Lightyear this year, which has the lesbian couple in it, and I actually really liked it because it's a time travel movie, and as I've been discussing, for some reason, I really like time
travel.
Apparently,
this year.
Yeah, that's the vibe.
Do you want to go forward in time or back in time?
Oof. Depends on what the rules are, I guess.
What does that mean?
Like, if I can go back and change things, I mean, I could obviously go back and make my life better in a lot of ways. But if it's like the rules are like I can't change anything because that's going to cause like butterfly effect bad things, then I guess I would just go forward in time, because then I could go see, hopefully, our utopian future and not the dystopia that is probably more likely, but whatever. I don't know. So it depends on the rules.
Gotcha. I wouldn't travel. I like the present.
Okay.
This has been...
I wish I could be as content as you.
This is a nice time right now. I'm really having a good one.
I mean, it certainly is a better time than it was previously.
Yeah.
Okay. So games. We need to talk about games.
Yeah, let's move on from this very sentimental moment.
Yeah.
I think I can guess yours.
Yeah. Does it start with a B and end with a 3?
Yeah.
Yeah. Baldur's Gate 3, definitely my game of the year, easily. I put like 180 hours into it. I'm going to play with a group tonight even. That's why we had to do this at this time, because I've got a group meeting later to play Baldur's Gate 3.
Wow.
It's a blast. It's so good.
If only I finished it.
Well.
I've been really stretching it out. I'm busy. Yeah. It's hard.
Just beat the darn game so we can do the final episodes. Our fans want to know our thoughts.
I'm trying.
I need to go back and replay the ending because now there's an epilogue. So I've need heard. To experience that. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I have a life and I'm cool, okay? I can't always be playing video games.
I have no life and I'm not cool, so I'm playing a lot of video games.
To each their own. I'm not going to confirm nor deny the allegations that Chloe's a nerd.
Okay. So non-Baldur's Gate 3 video games, though. Gotcha. What's on your mind? Little Nightmares?
Maybe, I guess. But not really. For this year, I would say, let me go to my Steam library. Well, I'm always a much bigger fan of, like, strategy kind of colony building games than I am on games with, like, plots and stuff. Because I don't like reading. I can't focus on it. I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear anything anyone is telling me. I just want to make little dots do things, you know?
Okay, fair.
So I guess for me, I've mentioned it before, but RimWorld is always a favorite. They made, like, not the RimWorld people, but there's, like, a company who did Surviving the Aftermath, I believe. Let me see who the person is. That's the singular person who made this game. Where do I check the publisher for a video game?
That's what I'm trying to... Oh, it was a...
Store page, maybe? Yeah.
The developer was Iceflake Studios. Published by Paradox.
Paradox, there you go.
That's the publisher, not the developer, but yeah.
But Paradox is like...
Yeah, they do a lot of those kind of simulation builder games.
Yeah, and there's another one... done by Frontier Foundry, but it's called Stranded Alien Dawn, and it's like a 3D version of RimWorld. It's slightly different. It's still like being heavily worked on, but I like that as well, just because it's a little more pretty than RimWorld, because it is like 3D versus 2D, and you can zoom in and everyone is like really pretty and whatnot.
It does look nice. I'm looking at the Steam page.
Yeah, I like it. It's pretty.
Oh, you fight a lot of scorpions, it looks like.
Yeah, lots of bugs. It's always bugs on Alien Worlds.
This is the type of game that I never, ever play.
I figured. There's also one called Space Haven, which is a similar kind of thing, but you're like, you build a spaceship and you go from system to system gathering resources and such.
Okay, so this one's like isometric, and you've got a spaceship.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're here. I never describe things.
I try, as a scientist, describing things is my job, so...
As a distracted fella, I'm just like, this is on my mind, and you never know what it is.
That's why we work well together. I'm here to, like, clarify, and you're here to give me crazy theories that break my brain, like what happened with,
Atomic Blonde. What was...
Atomic Blonde, yes, yeah. They still think about sometimes.
I'm glad! Ugh, I love being so creative. What about you? What games, other than Baldur's Gate? Which is definitely a top number one for, like, everyone in the world.
Yeah, Okay, so I'm going to mention some, like, lesser-known games. So mm-hmm. one that I have to mention is Slay the Princess.
Yeah.
Which you played.
I played a little bit.
It's a visual novel, and you are there to slay the princess. And I believe the voice actor that for the narrator is, I believe his name is Jonathan Sims from the Magnus Archives.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his real name, or is that the character's name? I don't know.
It's
that guy from the Magnus Archives.
You know the one.
It's a beautiful kind of almost lo-fi game is what I describe it as. Mm-hmm. And you can play through it, you know.
He has a really nice voice. There's like a cadence to it that's like very rhythmic and soft and interesting. I really like it.
Hypnotic.
Very hypnotic, yeah. And especially with the theme of the game as well.
Yes. He has the perfect voice for the game. Highly recommend checking that. It's pretty cheap. It's like $20 too, so check it out. Then I've played through all Persona 5 Royal, but we did an episode on that, so I'm not going to focus too much on that. Final Fantasy 16, which we haven't done an episode about, but should, because it introduces the first, like, on-screen gay couple in the Final Fantasy series. At least the main line.
It only took them 30 games.
I know, but and someone's going to be like, well, actually, in Final Fantasy Type-0 revised on the
one cares about PS Final Vita, Fantasy, so
there was a gay couple. But, oh, wow, yeah. but this is the first mainline Final Fantasy game where there is an explicitly queer couple. They kiss. They tell each other they love each other. They are clearly, you know, like, if you go into the game's relationship page, it says they're in a relationship. It's good. And they're very cute, too. And one of them's super powerful. He's Bahamut, like the incarnation of Bahamut. So,
ooh, interesting.
He is like he's the big dragon boy. So that was great. And then I've been on like a real like tactical slash turn-based RPG kick. So I've been playing this game called Symphony of War, the Nephilim Saga, which is like a cross between Fire Emblem and Tactics Ogre. So to explain what that means, because those are two very specific games, Fire Emblem is like anime characters go to war. So you've got kind of a grid-based combat system where you move your characters around and they fight each other. And then the Tactics Ogre thing is that you have like squads of units, and then you get to decide how those squads are composed and you get to place them. So you kind of place your like heavy armored guys in front and then a healer in the back and then like archers in the middle. And there's different ways you can configure them so that they, you know, are mm-hmm. more effective in combat. So it combines both those systems. And it's just, I don't know, the story's kind of cheesy. Like, it's just about, like, you're a general in a civil war. But it's good. There's a good story. And it tickles the part of my brain that enjoys that sort of thing.
Nice. Is it like XCOM sort of thing?
That's a good comparison. The one thing I'd say that's different is that the characters survive, like, at the end. Like, even if they die, they come back the next, because they're, like, main story characters.
Oh, do characters in XCOM die?
Yeah, I think when they die, they're dead for good, right?
I don't know. I've never played one of those games. Just, like, seen, like, seconds of it.
And also, XCOM is really based on, like, accuracy and, like, you know, like, getting into cover and whatnot. There isn't really that, because this is kind of just top-down grid base, so it's more focused on choosing the right advantageous units for the situation. Like, you should use your cavalry to charge their archers, and you shouldn't, you know, put a bunch of slow units up against a bunch of mages, because the mages will destroy them before they get close, and mm-hmm. you know, it's stuff like that. So it's that kind of strategy, and it's really good. I'm having a blast with it.
Literally.
Yeah.
Oh, firebolt.
I'm trying to think about other games. I want to do one other genre. I just feel like I've played Donut County.
Which is that?
It's a fun little puzzle game where you control a hole you're controlling a raccoon who's controlling a hole, and you've got to like feed things to the hole so that it gets bigger so that you can eat everything so the hole can like devour everything.
Oh.
And so it's like, it's kind of like Katamari Damacy.
I don't know what that is.
So Katamari Damacy, you have a ball that you have to roll and you have to pick up bigger and bigger things with it.
Okay.
So it's very similar to Katamari, which is our friend Sarah, who guest of the pod for the Nona episode. Mm-hmm. That's her favorite kind of puzzler game. So if you like Katamari, check out Donut County. It's really good. And it's got a very cute raccoon.
I will do an honorary mention of the little game called Unpacking.
Oh, yeah. I've wanted to play that. Tell me about it.
It became very queer as I played it. And I love
There's
it.
There's like a story?
It's just a very relaxing game.
What?
There's a story, which could you believe it? But it's told through the act of unpacking. And every level is like a different stage in this person's life. And you learn what she likes in all of these stages and how her life is going. And it actually is amazing at defining space. A little spoiler, I guess, for a game that doesn't really have spoilers. But there's like a level where she's clearly living with someone who takes up all the space. And you have very little to work with to unpack her stuff.
Yeah.
Just that, like, that level really stood out to me because it was like, whoa, this is one of the first times where I'm actually having a slightly difficult time figuring everything out. And it wasn't as relaxing as everything else. And yeah, it's really cute. It tells a story really, really well because it's all atmospheric. There's no characters, there's no voices, nothing. I highly recommend you try it, Chloe. It's very relaxing, but also surprising.
Okay. I think I want to say it's free on like the PlayStation Game Pass thing, whatever they have. So I should check it out. Oh God, there's carolers outside.
Oh no. We're going to have a little
little holiday ambiance, but I guess maybe that's our cue to kind of wrap things up.
Yeah, I guess. Did we talk about favorite books? Because I think that's our thing.
Yeah, okay.
We like books, Chloe.
We do like books. I have not read many books this year.
Me neither. I really, really liked She Who Became the Sun. I think that book was very creative.
Oh my God, that was so good.
Very fun, very stressful.
The sequel's not out yet, right?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is? Oh my God.
It's been out for months.
I need to pick that up then. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would say that that's a book that stood out this year.
Yeah, that was an amazing book. I'm glad
our
friend
so good.
Sarah gave me a copy, and that's what prompted me to read it.
I actually had the book on my shelf for like a decent chunk of time. I can't read, you know? So I need like 3 to 4 people to inform me of the existence of a thing and then force me to open the book.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did. It was really interesting.
Yeah,
all the gender
so
stuff.
Good. Yeah, lots of gender stuff. I'm trying to think what else I read this year. I mean, like, I reread some, like, Nona and Baru and stuff, but
yeah, that one, the Sun book stands out the most to me. Yeah. I think because we're so used to talking about, like, Gideon the Ninth. I mean, like, the Locked Tomb series, and we're so used to talking about Baru.
Yeah.
It felt very much in the similar vein of genre, but also removed enough that it's its own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
How We Lose a Time War.
Yeah, was that was
excellent.
Good. Yeah.
Legends and Lattes, so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was this year. That was really good. I all the books are just like blurring together in my mind. Okay. 2024 resolution, read more. I'm writing that down.
And a little shout out to Cosmonites. I really enjoyed that comic.
Yeah, that was great. I don't even remember if you recommended it or I recommended it. I think it was you.
I had it on my shelf for the longest time and I've never read it. And then I was like, whoa, this is really good and pretty.
I also read Something is Killing the Children in this year. I mean, I reread
it. I think you mentioned it to me, but I don't remember.
It's really good. It's got some queer themes. It's not explicitly, but it's got some. So it's good.
Mm-hmm.
What about any podcasts this year?
I mean, always NatPod. NatPod is always queer. They're always very inclusive. They're always very diverse. And their storytelling is excellent. I like Dames and Dragons as well. All of my podcasts are D&D, by the way.
Okay, yeah.
And they're all going to be D&D. Dames and Dragons is very good. I think they're finishing up their campaign, if not already finished with it, because I've been busy and couldn't listen to a lot of stuff. But yeah, they're another one. How about you?
I mean, the Magnus Archives I've been listening to, and it's really good. Aside from that, I haven't been big on podcasts this year. Yeah, it just, I don't know. It's been a big gaming year more than anything.
It was, yeah.
Not for you, though, because you don't have time for it, you said.
Well, I played, like, 100 hours of Baldur's Gate.
Okay, fair.
And I
that
played,
is
like,
that is a commitment.
And I played, like, 15 hours of everything else.
Okay, that's fair. That is, that is a bit of time.
It's, like, 4 days.
With no sleep.
With no sleep, it would be 4 days.
Yeah.
I'm actually exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've well, we can, we've done hard. An hour. If we can call it here.
Okay.
We'll do an episode in probably early January about stuff we're excited for in 2024.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you all for tuning in. I just want to mention our social media. We've got Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest is @InMediaLes. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLes. I just totally... Okay, we've got a Tumblr. It is...
thepodinmediales.tumblr.com.
Our website is inmediales.com. You can email us at inmediales@gmail.com. And there is a link to our Discord in the description, as well as a link to the songs we mentioned, a Spotify playlist. And thank you all so much for listening. And, you know, happy holidays.
Yeah, we'll see you in the next one. Enjoy the chaos of December.
And I hope Santa, if you believe in Santa, brings you some nice presents.
What do you mean if you believe in Santa?
Well, okay.
What does that mean, Chloe?
Even if, okay. I just burst a really big bubble for a lot of listeners, I'm sure. I'm sorry.
What are you talking about?
Oops.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss new episodes. Also, it helps us grow, and we appreciate every single one of you who follows. And if you like us, tell a friend. Just be like, hey, these two lesbians are talking about other lesbians, gays, non-binary folk, and really queer people. Once again, thanks for listening, and we really appreciate you.